Well, good morning again. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for providing us your word, your instruction, Lord. And we just ask, Lord, that you'd open heaven for us this morning. We just ask, Lord, that you'd reveal your word to us, Lord. Teach us, Lord, in ways that we need to be taught. Everybody's different, Lord. Everybody receives different. Everybody needs to receive different, Lord. But, Lord, you provide everything we need, and we're looking to you, Lord. Touch our lives and touch our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we're in Revelation 3:20 through 22. Actually, it's mostly just going to be 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, he says. I have a quote here from a man named Richard C. Trench. This is from his Commentary on the Epistles to the Seven Churches. Every man is lord of the house of his own heart. It is his fortress. He must open the gates of it. He has the mournful prerogative and privilege of refusing to open. But if he refuses, he is blindly at strife with his own blessedness, a miserable conqueror. We have that choice, don't we? The Epistle to the Seven Churches. And of course, the seven churches are the ones listed in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. All seven churches existed at the time of the writing of Revelation. And all are types of churches that exist today. And they also represent seven church eras, seven church ages that have occurred between then and now. And they could represent us individually too, couldn't they? You know, I heard a teaching 30 years ago at a men's retreat in Oregon. And it was on this. And in my Bible, I wrote a word next to each church. And like I said, it was 30 years ago, so I'm not really sure what it meant. But I'm gonna say that word anyway. Just remember that I'm not sure why I wrote it. There is something there, but 30 years, wow. First church was the church of Ephesus. And the word that I wrote in my Bible for Ephesus was courage. Ephesus was the apostolic church. It was from 30 AD to 100 AD. Its motto could be duty without love. Jesus said that they had left their first love. We can do that, can't we? Our love for the Lord can grow dull. The enemy sends a fog in to try to cloud what we have with him. Sometimes we forget about the things that he's done for us. The church at Ephesus was more concerned with their appearance than with their heart relationship. They ceased to exist. Second church was Smyrna. The word I wrote for them was loyalty. They were the persecuted church from 100 AD to 312 AD. Their motto could be persecuted but rich. They were loyal to the Lord. They purified their hearts. They were righteous, not angry. The next church was Pergamos. The word I wrote for them was determination. They were the imperial church. From 312 A.D. to 476 A.D., they were the church of compromise. Do we see that today? We see a lot of compromise today. And I think if there's one thing that we have to really watch out for, it's not to compromise. They desired to be accepted, to be successful, to be a part of society. Pergamos. If you break the word in two sections, the first part of it is per, P-E-R. It means mixed or objectionable. Gamos, the second part of the word, means marriage. It's like a mixed marriage. Children of Israel were told not to intermarry with the people in the land when they went in to possess their land. Because the funny thing about when you try to get along with somebody that's of the world, what happens to you? You can't sit on a fence. Because if you try to sit on the fence, you're going to fall off, and you're always going to fall off on the messy side, aren't you? Compromise. Amos 3:3 says, two can't walk together unless they're in agreement. So who gives in? You know, it's usually believers that gives in, isn't it? The next church is Thyatira. Next to that church in my Bible, I wrote the word responsibility. They were a medieval church from 476 A.D. to 1517 A.D. They're the counterfeit. The kingdom of their world was more important than the kingdom of their heart. They counterfeited a kingdom. Then there's the church at Sardis. The word I wrote for them is initiative. They were the Reformed church from 1517 A.D. to 1750 A.D. They saw what was going on with the other church, and they chose to change it to be different. But even then, they were alive but dead. The sixth church was the church at Philadelphia. Philadelphia, of course, means brotherly love. The word I wrote for Philadelphia was growth. They were the revival church from 1750 A.D. to 1900 A.D. The open door church. They had an evangelistic heart and a zeal for missions. They founded a kingdom of the heart around the world. Of all the churches listed, they were, in the Lord's eyes, the best. And that's what we should always strive to be, the Church of Philadelphia, shouldn't it? And finally, there's a church at Laodicea. The word I wrote for them was decisiveness. They were the apostate church. Apostate means to fall away. From 1900 A.D. to the present, the last church. They were the church that was neither hot nor cold. Laodicea was a place that had water piped in. And because it was piped in, it wasn't cold enough to quench your thirst, and it wasn't hot enough to be therapeutic. It was useless. And that's what Jesus saw. The church of Laodicea, they were neither cold nor hot. He said, I would rather you be cold, or I would rather you be hot. But if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. Useless to him. And we see an awful lot of this church in today, don't we? They believed a kingdom could be built by their intellect, their wealth, and their ability. They created apostasy around the world. Seven churches. As I said, they could represent us as individuals, couldn't they? Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. This comes after the rebuke of the church at Laodicea. But isn't that a lot like God? Isn't that the way he works? He'll condemn us, and not condemn us, but he'll convict us, but then he will offer his mercy. Is the Lord speaking exclusively to the church of Laodicea? Or is he speaking to all seven in verse 20? There's no break in there, but there in the original, there is no break in the Bible. Is he speaking to the saved? Or is he speaking to the unsaved? Is he speaking to you and me? The answer to all those questions is yes. They're all true. He's speaking to whoever needs to hear it. There was a painter back in the 1800s named William Holman Hunt. Has anybody heard of him? He painted a picture that you probably all saw. Shows a picture of Jesus in his royal robes outside a door of a house. The title of the painting is The Light of the World. And that's confusing because you'd think it would be, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. But it's the light of the world. He's holding a lantern in one hand. Maybe he's thinking some of that light is going to seep in through the cracks around that door to light what's inside, because there's darkness inside. If you look at the picture, the door entrance is overgrown with weeds. Got brambles and briars. They're about this high. The hinges are rusted. That door hasn't been open for a while. What does that door represent? That's the door to our heart, isn't it? He's holding a lantern, as I've mentioned. The light of the world. And what's going on inside that heart? What's going on inside that house? Paul talks about feeling after him or finding him, groping and finding him in Acts 17:27. In the dark, he says, if perhaps they might feel after him and find him, or they might grope and find him. He's not saying it could happen. He's saying if it were possible at all, which it isn't, because without that light, we're not going to find him. We're not going to come to him. He goes on to say, though he be not far, or Paul goes on to say, though he be not far from every one of us. How close is he? He's outside that door. Someone commented to the painter that he'd made a mistake with the painting. They said he'd forgotten to put a door handle on the door. He said that he had made no mistake. In fact, he went on to say that it was a divine commandment given to him not to put that on there. There's no door, there's no handle on that door on the outside. He can't open it. We have to open it. There's something else that's shown in the painting. The rusty hinges. They're on the outside of the door. That means he can't kick that door in because it opens out. And he wouldn't anyway kick the door in, would he? You know, Luke chapter 15, Jesus told three parables. One was about a shepherd that went looking for a lost sheep. And he aggressively went looking for the sheep. He found the sheep. He put it on his shoulder and he went home rejoicing. The next parable was about a woman that lost a coin. The coin would have been from her wedding garland. It was like losing your wedding ring. And she searched, and she found it, and she grabbed hold of it. But the third parable was about a father that lost his son. He had to stand there and wait at the gate for him to come back. See, when you're dealing with objects or you're dealing with animals, he would behave one way. But when it comes to people, he doesn't barge in. He's a gentleman. He knocks at the door. He waits for us. The door opens toward him. It doesn't open toward us. So when we open that door, and we have to, we open it towards him. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. We have to be listening to his voice. We have to open the door. We have to make the decision. I will sup with him, and he with me. I noticed something in that. You know, he could have just said, I will come in and sup with him. But he also says, and he with me. It's a two-sided arrangement. It's a two-sided relationship, isn't it? It's not one-sided. It's about fellowship with him. His fellowship with us and our fellowship with him. It's about our relationship with him and his relationship with us. That's what we're created for, was to have a relationship with the Lord. Another word for relationship or fellowship is communion. And today is Communion Sunday. We celebrate communion. We observe communion, if you will. We do it once a month. Some people do it every Sunday. Some people do it every 6 months. Once a month seems to be the right amount. Because we don't take it for granted. It's not too commonplace, but it's also not too distant between them to where it loses meaning. It's about communion with one another. But mostly it's about communion with the Lord. I'm going to ask Bill and George to come forward and hand out the elements. And I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 32. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Verse 28 said, But let a man examine himself. And while these elements are being passed out, I ask that you close your eyes and you speak to the Lord about the things that are going on in your life. Maybe your relationship isn't too good with him. Maybe your relationship with others isn't too good. It says if you have aught with your brother, you're supposed to go to him and make amends. You know, sometimes we can't do that. Sometimes maybe our brother isn't around anymore. So what we need to do in either case is go to the Lord and tell him. Tell him that you want to forgive the one that's wronged you, or that you want to be forgiven of wronging the one. Examine yourself and take what you see there to the Lord. Maybe your relationship isn't. Maybe your relationship isn't right with the Lord. Now is the time to get it right before you drink that cup and eat that bread. So just take a few minutes and just speak to the Lord. Has everybody been served? Did we miss anybody? No. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Lord, we thank you for the body that was broken for us. We thank you, Lord, for the bread that represents that body. And Lord, we just thank you for your sacrifice. You may eat the bread. After the same manner also he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Lord, we thank you for the blood that you shed for us. We thank you, Lord, for the blood that cleanses us of our sins and all unrighteousness. And we thank you, Lord, for the price that you paid for our salvation. You may drink the cup. Jesus, Jesus, there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Lord, we thank you for this service today, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here. We thank you, Lord, for your love, that you stood outside the door of our hearts and you knocked and you waited till we opened. And Lord, then you came in and had fellowship with us. Who is man that you are mindful of him, or the Son of Man that you visited him? Who are we, Lord? The many blessings, Lord, that we don't deserve. We're not worthy, Lord. But you are. You're worthy of our love. Help us, Lord, to live a life that reflects that and that remembers that. Lord, I pray that you touch each person in this room today. You bless them, Lord. Bless us all, Lord. May we walk with you. Lord, guide us, direct us, and bring us back safe when we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.